Today on Family Talk.
Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, and last time here on the program, we heard a highly emotional story of a girl who struggled in her teen years, even to the point of wanting to end her own life. And though it was heart-wrenching at times to hear what she had gone through and to see where her mind was taking her, I think she offered parents a glimpse into the emotional turmoil that can occur for some teens during those teenage years. And despite the pain, hers is a story of hope and encouragement, and that is what we're going to hear today on Family Talk. Now, if you missed the first half of our discussion with Kristen Anderson, I urge you to download that broadcast from drjamesdobson.org. You can also use the Family Talk app to get all the details. In the meantime, here's just a quick summary. Last time, Kristen talked about dealing with the challenges that she faced during her first years of high school. In a short span of time, she lost four friends and a beloved grandmother to death. And she was sexually assaulted. She got caught up in the party scene. She was so depressed that she tried to take her own life by lying down in front of a freight train. She miraculously survived the suicide attempt, but lost both of her legs in that accident. Okay, now let's pick up the conversation with Dr. Dobson, asking Kristen about her thoughts and feelings immediately after that suicide attempt.
Isn't it a shame, Kristen, that you didn't know that you're more valuable than the entire universe, than anything that exists anywhere? You are more valuable, but you didn't believe that.
No, I had no idea. I would have never thought that Jesus would have died for me if I was the only person on this earth. I would have never thought that I could have, you know, a new life in him and that my life could be different and better with him. I didn't know that I could, you know that I would go to heaven if I accepted him and his forgiveness into my life. I had no idea how valuable
it
was.
And then lying there in the hospital, you had a new problem. You had to face life without legs.
Right.
And if you were depressed over circumstances before, how did you deal with that reality?
That was really hard for me. I remember everybody who knew me was worried because they thought, you know, if she didn't want to live her life with her legs, how's she going to want to live her life without her legs? And suicidal thoughts were something that I began to struggle with for a long time after this. I really, really struggled. I didn't feel like a whole person. I really, really hated myself for the decision that I made. It was really, really hard for me to forgive myself or to see that I could, may have a productive, purposeful life without my legs. I didn't know how I was going to live my life without them.
You're embarrassed by it all?
Very, very embarrassed, very ashamed. It's not something I ever thought I would do. It's not something anybody thought I would do. I had a really hard time, you know, accepting it or even believing it. But my friends and my family really came around me. I remember even in the hospital that first week, I called my best friend and asked her if she could come, you know, help me get cleaned up in the hospital. And she was like, sure, but how are you doing? And I remember just looking down at my legs and realizing they were still gone. They're still not there. This can't really be a nightmare. This is actually happening. And saying, I'm okay, but my legs are cut off. And tears just streaming down my face because that's when it became real to me. And she said, oh, honey, it's okay. You're going to be fine. You don't need your legs. And it sounds like so simple and so trite, but it was exactly what I needed to hear in that moment. And really all of my family and all of my friends surrounded me. And they just loved on me like crazy. And one of the things that I heard all the time over and over again was, Kristen, there's a reason you're here. God kept you here for a reason. There's something you're supposed to do here. And I heard, it was encouraging, but I heard it so much that I almost got sick of it because I didn't know why I was here or what I was supposed to do
but
here.
But they gave you hope and a reason to live.
Right.
If we fast forward now to you're sitting here today and you came here in a wheelchair. And yet God is using you all across the country. He is blessing your book. And he is using the message that you deliver, a message of hope, a message of worth, a message of God's love, and especially an understanding of Jesus Christ and how he can take us in the darkest moments of our lives and put an arm around us and tell us that he loves us and somehow make triumph out of tragedy. You are an example of that. You are exhibit A in the work that he does in our lives. And that's what you want to convey, isn't it?
Yeah, I just want people to know how incredibly faithful he is. He never, ever, 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 ever gives up on us, no matter what we have done or how we are feeling or what we think of him. He never gives up on us, and he loves us unconditionally.
How'd you come to know him?
When I was in the hospital, I started to think about the fact that I was still alive, and people were telling me that it was a miracle that I was alive, and God kept me here, and things like that. And I started to really consider how big he was and how real he was and how much he might love me. But I didn't really think about it all the time until I went to church when we got out of the hospital one weekend. And there's a woman who came up to me who didn't know who I was, who had heard about what happened to me. And she told me that I would have went to hell if I died. And I really struggled with that because I wanted to believe that I would have went to heaven. I wanted to believe the feel-good answer. And everybody around me kind of told me the feel-good answer. Yeah, of course, Kristen, you would have went to heaven. You know, don't worry. But I became concerned. What if I would have went to hell? I felt like I needed to know that. And so I started seeking God, and I really started seeking him for answers. And eventually a couple came to have dinner with my family that were friends with my sister. And the husband of the couple, I found out, was in seminary to be a pastor. And I figured that he knew more about the Bible than anybody else that I knew. So I decided to ask him if he thought I would have went to hell if I died. And he just told me that every single one of us were created to be in a personal and intimate relationship with God. But because of our sin and the wrong things that we've done, we are separated from him. But that's why Jesus died, to reunite us with God, to forgive us of our sins, so that we can have eternal life with God in heaven and live life with him on this earth by his strength and by his grace. But we have to choose to accept his forgiveness and choose to let him lead our lives. And I knew that what he was telling me was something more true than anything I'd ever heard in my life. And I knew that I didn't have any kind of personal relationship with God. I felt a need for him. I felt like that was what was missing in my life. And I knew that I was a sinner, especially after my suicide attempt. And I knew I needed to be forgiven. And so sitting on the floor in my parents' dining room, I just prayed the most simple and humble prayer. And I asked him to forgive me for everything that I'd done wrong. I asked him to forgive me for trying to take my life. I realized that my life wasn't mine to take. And I realized that my only hope was in Jesus and what he had done on the cross and having him in my life. And I remember as I went to bed that night just feeling like something was lifted off my shoulders, like I didn't need to worry about tomorrow anymore. It was going to be okay. Mm-hmm. One way or another, it was going to be different from here forward. And I know that that was the night that I became a Christian.
Mm-hmm. What an exciting message. And there are people listening to us now that need to hear this, Kristen. They're where you were. They don't know the Lord. They think they do because they've attended church or because they think they're a good person, which is not the same thing.
Right.
They are not a Christian because they grew up in America. But they've never met the person of Jesus Christ and what he can do. Do you have anything you want to say to those folks?
Yes, I want you to know, if you are in the depths of depression or struggling with suicidal thoughts, that there's a reason that you're here, that God created you for a purpose, and that he loves you more than you could ever understand. And he wants to bring you so much hope and so much forgiveness. And if you reach out to him, he will meet you in that place, and he will bring you hope, and he will bring you healing, and he will give you a purpose beyond anything you could have ever imagined. There's nothing in this life that compares to doing life with him. You're not alone. I know how you're feeling, but you're not alone. God is with you, and he can help you. And there are other people in the church and around this world who want to help you too. So reach out to them for help. Be honest with yourself and be honest with God, because there's so much hope and help available.
When you speak to youth groups, what kind of response do you get?
I am amazed by how many people come up to me and tell me that they struggle with suicidal thoughts or depression, who tell me that they've attempted suicide, who tell me that they know somebody who attempted some suicide or did commit suicide. I didn't realize, I always felt like it was just a problem that I had and maybe a few other people. I didn't realize how widespread the problem was, but once people started responding and telling me it was a struggle that they had and started telling me that after hearing my story, they were encouraged that they could get through whatever they were going through and that now they had hope.
And you tell them that is not the answer. There's a
right,
better
exactly.
answer.
Exactly. Suicide is never the answer, no matter what is going on in your life. It is never the answer. It is not going to help you or anything else. It's going to take more from you than it could ever bring.
Kristen, you mentioned that something you've come to realize now that you're 28 is the reality of the enemy, that we want to deny that, and you really came to grips with that. There's a spiritual battle over your soul. There's spiritual battles over the lives of the people we're talking to right now. The enemy comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. But God came to bring life, and that's our message today.
Exactly. I needed to learn that. I didn't know that. I didn't know that a lot of the thoughts that I was having weren't just thoughts. That wasn't because there was something wrong with me. It was because Satan was planting these really negative and evil thoughts in my mind, and I was believing them. And I didn't realize that I needed to fight him and the things that he was doing in my life. I didn't realize that he wanted to destroy my life. But once I realized that he wanted to destroy my life, but God wanted me to have life, and he wanted me to have life abundantly, I started to realize that I needed to fight Satan and everything that he wanted to do in my life and just pursue God with everything in me. And the more that I walked towards him, the more I felt like I was walking straight out of my depression, and I started to experience the hope and the peace and the joy and the love for life like I had never, ever had before.
Those are lies. You're here today to say, don't listen to the lies, but I am the way, the truth, and the life is what turns you around.
Exactly. Following Jesus and the hope that he has.
Life itself is a spiritual battle, and there was a tug of war for your soul.
Right.
Satan was against you, and God was for you. And thank the Lord that you've made the choice to align yourself with him, and that Satan lost that one. When you look back on it from this perspective, tell us how you perceive that whole night, that whole experience from this perspective.
Well, in many ways, this is going to sound strange, but in many ways that I'm glad that I lost my legs, because it is what I needed to humble me and to see my need for God, to see how lost I was. And I am so grateful for everything that I've learned from the loss of my legs that I wouldn't trade any of it to have my legs back. And it is, the longer it has been since everything, it was kind of a bittersweet thing in the beginning. It was hard to get over the loss of my legs. It was hard for me to feel like I could lead a productive life or like I was a whole person.
How difficult is it for you now?
Well, it just gets sweeter every single year. I feel like everything just makes more sense the more that I center my life around the Lord. And, I mean, obviously I'm still in a wheelchair and I still have daily challenges, but I actually hardly even think about the fact that I'm in a wheelchair. I just live my life normal, and I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, and I do everything that I can to serve him. And I just feel so blessed to know him and to serve him and to be a part of this, a small part of the things that he's doing in this world.
You know, isn't it amazing how often we hear how someone, seemingly their greatest tragedy in life, they wouldn't take it back because of the life they have with Christ. That's an amazing thing about
that. They wouldn't live through it again.
Right.
But they can see that God used it.
Absolutely. It wouldn't take it back because they've got that relationship, and that relationship is so powerful and so intimate and so special that they wouldn't take that issue back.
Mm-hmm. Is that the way you feel?
Exactly. I mean, I would never do it again because I know that it broke the heart of God for me to want to take my life. The choices that I made brought a lot of consequences in my life that brought me a lot of pain, but letting God use that pain in my life to bring me closer to him and to help me learn more about him and the things that he wants me to do in this world and just the value that I have in this world and the relationship that I have with him, I wouldn't trade for anything.
Are you finding that lost and discouraged young people are drawn to you, are captivated by you, and want to know what you think and draw strength from you? Are you aware of that?
Yeah, it surprises me every single time. I can't believe the emails that we get every single time that I speak or share my story. We get hundreds of emails from people who, you know, feel exactly how I did. And they read the book and they feel like they lived that exact same story. And they are encouraged that they can have the same kind of peace and the same kind of hope and the same kind of purpose in this world just like I did. And I would have never imagined that God could use me in that way. Mm-hmm. But to see that He is saving people's lives physically and spiritually just by me sharing what He's done in my life is an incredibly humbling and exciting experience.
You told us earlier that you were embarrassed about having tried to take your life, and yet you pushed past that discomfort and shared it with the world, and I thank you for doing that. The same thing happened for my wife, Shirley. She was raised in the home of an alcoholic. Her father was an alcoholic. And when you go through that, you're embarrassed about it. You don't want anybody to know. And your entire life is motivated to protect that information. You don't want anybody to know. And I just remember when we'd been married about 15 or 20 years, I talked to Shirley about that the Lord had done a miracle in her life. Look at the love and the marriage we have now and the way the Lord is using us. And I think you need to tell that story. And she said, no, I can't. I can't reveal that. No, I'm embarrassed about it even to this day. And the Lord began to put His hand in her back and urged her to share it and said, Shirley, I've done something wonderful for you. You need to share it with those that are still struggling. And so she did. And the amazing thing is not only did people come to her who had been through that same thing and ministered to others because of that, but she began to get over the embarrassment and the pain of her childhood. You know, she actually benefited from it personally, and she even wrote a book about it. So I can understand what you do, and I appreciate the fact that you are doing it.
It reminds me of Paul, who says, I boast in my weaknesses.
Yes.
Because that's the very essence of that scripture. When I am weak, then I am strong. It doesn't make sense to us, but in our weaknesses is when His strength shines through. Kristen, He's shining through you. Anyone who would not believe that needs to just go to our website and look at the picture of you. Your countenance is brilliant. You are evidence of that strength that came through the weakness you felt. The lies that you heard as a teenager are totally obliterated in the power of Christ.
And now we know what that smile's all about, don't
man,
we?
Yeah. Precious.
Well, as we end this program, Kristen, I think it's important for us to not gloss over the difficulties of recovering from your attempted suicide and the loss of your legs and the emotional pain that you had experienced before. That was a process. The Lord didn't do it with a flash of lightning. It was day by day by day, wasn't it?
Right. I mean, after I became a Christian, I knew that things were going to be different, and I had a new hope for life, and I started talking to Him, and I started praying. But I still struggled with suicidal thoughts and depression for about 3 years, especially around the anniversary of my suicide attempt. And I think the biggest reason that I struggled was because I didn't know how important it was to have Christian friends, to be a part of the body of Christ, and how much that could help me. I didn't realize how important it was to read God's Word, and every single day being in it, how much that could help me. And like we talked about earlier, I didn't realize that I needed to fight Satan because it was his desire to destroy my life. But once I realized those things, I put them into practice and started to really have a relationship with God, let Him be my best friend and let Him be my father is when everything really started to change and I started to have that peace and that joy. So it was a journey day by day, just trusting Him, following Him, trusting that He had hope and plans and a future for me even when I didn't have them for myself. And the more that I believed that He had that hope and those plans for me, the more I really felt it in my life.
Yeah.
What would it have done if your parents had pushed a little more into your life? Do you think you would have been responsive to that?
It's hard to say. I think if they would have asked me how I was feeling, like if they would have asked me like if I was feeling suicidal, I probably couldn't have said that or anything. But mm-hmm. if they would have asked me like if I had a lot of hope or how I was, mm-hmm. how I was, if I, you know, had was planning for a future or anything like that, I feel like those were the things that were most apparent, that I wasn't planning anything for my future anymore. I felt very broken inside. Mm-hmm. I was very discouraged and losing a lot of hope that I could have identified.
Doctor, it reminds me of what you said, that you have this dissonance during the teen years where the time that they're pulling away is actually when the parents need to be there the most. Yeah. You've addressed that a lot.
I have, and it's absolutely true that parents get the feeling, and for good reason, that their kids don't want them in their lives. Mm-hmm. They get angry if you ask mm-hmm. questions. You're prying into my private affairs, and they push you away as a parent. And yet, at the same time, they're desperate for help, and they want advice. Mm-hmm. They still want to know it's wrong to do certain things, even though they're flirting with it. You know, does that describe you, Kristen?
Oh, yes, definitely. I was looking for so many answers. I remember even asking my mom how she did it. Like, how does she get through her life every single day? And she didn't really know how to answer me. She said, you just do it. And mm-hmm. she says now that she didn't realize that God was really just carrying her through. But I was looking for how do you get through life. I remember I didn't ask a lot of questions, yeah. but some of them were very direct, and I was listening, you know, with you know, 10 ears.
Kristen, I think it's important for the parents listening right now who are feeling hopeless and they're feeling like, well, I don't want my child to go off the deep end, to realize that it's okay to push in a little bit more and maybe ask a few questions very gently and kind of engage with their teenager. You would suggest that, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. I think it is so important for parents to make themselves available and to completely engage in their children's lives, to not feel like, well, they don't want me involved or they need to keep their distance. I feel like they need them desperately. More than they could even imagine.
Let's talk about your ministry now. You're available to speak. Is it all right if we post information about how to get in touch with you on our website?
Yes, definitely. I would love that.
Yeah. And the ministry is called?
Reaching You Ministries.
Reaching You
right.
Ministry.
Mm-hmm.
That's the personal aspect of it. And your book is Life in Spite of Me. Now, let's end by your explaining that title.
I love the title, Life in Spite of Me. I don't feel like anything else could capture my story more than that title because in spite of everything that I did wrong, in spite of everything that every mistake that I made, God gave me a life on this earth and a life eternally that it doesn't compare to anything I could have ever found in this world.
Mm. Kristen, thanks for being with us. Thanks for coming to see us and for sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ with so many people. Again, the book is titled Life in Spite of Me by Kristen Jane Anderson. Do you like yourself today?
I do. I do. I a big difference for me in was starting to see myself for who God saw me, not for what I saw myself, not for what other people saw me, but for how He sees me. And the more that I see myself for how He sees me, the more I love myself.
How can people pray for you now?
I think the biggest way is just in continued strength and endurance and following the Lord and going all the places that I can to share, you know, His hope and His love with the world, and also for the ministry helping us really raise the funding and the volunteers that we need to help people grow in their relationships with the Lord as
Do
much as
you
possible.
Have people who can respond, especially the young people who call and they're desperate for help?
Well, we have an email support team that is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And when people email, they will receive an email within 12 to 24 hours from somebody who can help them through whatever they're going through. And I think a lot of people write our email support team because it's anonymous. Because they
a lot of pain out there,
right,
isn't there?
Right, and they want to talk to somebody who understands. You know, obviously they know that I can understand. They want to talk to me or somebody else who can understand. And so we try to help them as best as we can.
God be with you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Dobson.
Well, what a heart Kristen Anderson has for helping others who are hurting. That comes through so clearly in this interview, as you've been hearing, but also in the book that she wrote about her experience. The book is called Life in Spite of Me, and you can also see this heartbeat for ministry in her own ministry now called Reaching You. To find out more about either of those resources, just follow the link on our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. And you can also download the broadcast there to listen to it again and to share with others, especially someone you might know who is hurting, or perhaps a parent who has a child whose behavior has changed somewhat and you're asking yourself, is this normal? Is it moody? Or is there something more serious at stake here? Go to drjamesdobson.org and revisit this broadcast. Also, we've been talking about this from a parent and child standpoint, but if you are struggling today, if you've got a bit of depression, you suspect that someone in your family or someone you might know is dealing with this as well, we have a link at drjamesdobson.org to help you find a trusted Christian counselor in your area. Now, of course, if you know someone who is struggling and they have suicidal thoughts, you don't want to wait for that. You just go ahead and call 911 and get them the help that they need. But if you're dealing with a bit of depression, or if there's someone in your family that needs to talk to someone about this, we have a list of Christian counselors in your area at drjamesdobson.org. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for joining us today. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program today. You may know that Family Talk is a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air by your generosity, literally. If you can help us financially, we would certainly appreciate it. God's blessings to you all.
Hi, everyone. Dr. Meg Meeker here. Are you on the go without much time to log into all of your social media pages? Twitter is a great way for staying informed on the things that matter to you with just a quick look at your phone. Follow Dr. James Dobson, FT, and receive great tips, resources, and information that is important to you in short and simple tweets. Again, that's Dr. James Dobson, capital F, capital T.